Good morning. Welcome to the worship this morning at the table. It is really good to be here with all of you today. My name is Jorge Dominguez. I am a clergy of the California Nevada Conference, and I have the pleasure to be here with all of you today to share on this beautiful morning and beautiful worship that we are having. I have been a pastor of the United Methodist Church here in California for the last 7 years. I transferred my membership here, but I actually was ordained 37 years ago. I was a little child when they ordained me, so. I have served in the United Methodist Church through the General Board of Global Ministries before coming to California. And for this past year, I have been worshiping and being part of this community, and I feel that this is my home. So thank you for having me here. Today we celebrate Pentecost, and as we begin Pentecost season, we also start a new worship series, Imago Dei, the centrality of diversity, equity, and inclusion in our Christ tradition. That one of the stories of the creation in the book of Genesis, there are more than one, God saw that all that they created was good. And God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the whole creation." We are going to look into these multiple images of God that we see when we look into the mirror, when we see our reflection. We are all created in God's image, so God's image includes all of our reflections. We will focus in how we are followers of Jesus and how we carry on his mission. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join me in a call and response, the call to worship. Come all who are wounded and weary. We come seeking peace and the breath of the Spirit. The risen one invites us to touch the wounds and be at peace. To worship the one who meets us in the wounds of life and grants us peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Happy Pentecost. I'm loving this row of red right here. I did the best I could with the pink on my shirt. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Becca Kramer Matter. I use she, her pronouns, and my role on the administrative board is to watch over personnel matters. If you're on our email list or were in worship last week, you have heard an announcement already related to pastoral leadership at the table, but in recognition that not everyone was here last week or even knows that we have an email list, and also that repetition is good for adult learning styles. we think about these things. The administrative board felt that it was important to share the announcement again this week, but I'm gonna take some liberties this week and share it in less United Methodist churchy terms and more just how we normally talk here at the table. So since the complaint process related to Pastor Matt is still in process, the administrative board, along with Bishop Sandy, recognizes that the table needs consistent pastoral leadership for our growing community of faith during this time of transition. And so Bishop Sandy has asked Reverend Greg Berquist to serve as interim pastor here from the end of this month through the end of this year. Bishop Sandy has also shared with our faith community that in situations like these, it's very rare for a pastor to return to the same church. And there can be a number of reasons for this, such as honoring the wishes of the people involved, including the pastor, and caring for the healing of everyone involved, including the pastor, their family, and the members of the church. The administrative board wants you to know that the families and the people impacted most closely have been reminded that they are loved and that they are missed here at the table. So I know that was a lot to take in. So let's pause, let's channel Sarneet and take a deep breath in and a deep breath out before I go on to share a little bit more about Greg. So first, and probably most important to many of us, Greg gets us. He gets the table. He understands and he values what makes the table the table. Like Pastor Mike Harrell, who has been up here several times, like Pastor Penny Adams, who often is here in the first service, like Pastor Georgia himself, Pastor Greg and his wife, when they were not serving a church, chose to worship at the table because this community, our worship style, our kitchen tables, our unwavering commitment to inclusion, and our belief that all means all, the things that make us who we are at the table, deeply resonate with them. And so that's also why Greg has agreed to temporarily come out of retirement and halfway across the country to be our interim pastor. We also know from the answers that you've been giving to Lisa's questions over the last 2 weeks how important art is to many of us personally and also to your experience of the table. So in addition to his other gifts, Greg is also an artist. He's a photographer, and the photos that we'll be playing in just a second are photos that he took himself. I asked him for 2 examples of his artwork, and he initially sent 4, and then followed up, and then followed up. He's really great at art. Greg is also a musician and a storyteller, and I've known him to weave those into his sermons as well. So Greg will be with us for the first time in a while because he has been living on a different part of the country, but he'll be with us for the first time in a while later this month in worship, and he's already working with the administrative board and the staff in preparation for his start date. I'll be at the Next Step table between services again this week. You can always find me between services before first service if you want to just check in and learn a little bit more about Greg, who's been a friend and a spiritual support for years. My email, personnel@thetableumc, will also hopefully be on the screen at some point. All right, let's take another deep breath in and out. Let's be gentle with ourselves and with each other as we recognize the various feelings that might be coming up with everything that I've shared. And remember, we're in this together. Amidst the feelings in the response to this time of transition, the administrative board encourages all of us to leave the door open for hope and for beautiful things that we have not even imagined yet. So I invite you now to stand in body or spirit and join our voices with the music team for All Is Not Lost. The pain of life, I
Slowly I collapse, lose light, lose warmth, forget everything I ever knew about bright. It is time again to know nothing, to be still and silent, to wait and wonder, to notice exactly what I need so completely that it pulls me through the shadow, pulls me through the cold of my own isolation, back, slower than a dream, faster than a season. I hear everyone whispering, plant everything now. Plant love the shape of God, the handprint of children allowed to say no. Plant quiet contemplation of miracles, the ripple of awe. Plant the undulation, the pulse, the fusion, plant even the idea of a wave, and let the ocean flood you by morning.
Speak the word that heals this broken ground. Say what you will, as we are still and we breathe in the very breath of God. Oh, speak. With your power. Spirit of God, breathe, breathe on me now. Open your mouth and speak the word that heals this broken ground. Say, say what you will. Show us your will as we breathe in the very breath of God. Oh, Spirit of God, here with us now, giving us life again. Breathe, breathe on us now, fill us with your love, send us with your power, Spirit of God.
So beautiful, right? Thank you. Music ministry. It is at the heart of who we are. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa Wegley. I serve on the administrative board. So glad that you are here joining us here in worship service, or if you're online, Stephen Starr is your host today. At the edge of the pews, there's a QR code there. Please feel free to just scan that QR code that Debbie has there, and you can get today's bulletin. And of course, if you're online, Stephen will drop that into the chat for you. I don't think we can say thank you enough to a lot of people, one of which is Bishop Olwine, Sandy Olwine, who has provided us with many, many, many resources to keep us moving forward. We're not stuck, people. We're moving forward. George, for being here, or as my father said, Señor Dominguez, so thank you for being here. And so actually, George, you're going to be speaking the very first sermon for this series of IMEGO, DEI, so of course that's a diversity, equity, and inclusion, and how the United Methodist Church and Christianity looks at it from a tradition. Alrighty, so last week, this is my favorite part. I don't know if it's your favorite part, but it's my favorite part now. Last week, we asked you a question of how you are caring for yourself during this time of uncertainty, both in the world and here at our church. 104 responses. Not little ones, big ones. And in fact, I shared with our admin team, there's like a bajillion sermons that are in there, and so I don't know, somebody's going to get to read all of those and sort through them, but y'all have some very profound things to share. So I'm going to just highlight a few things first before we go through that list, but I want you to know that some people doodled. I like that. Whoops. Some people who answered were small people who were just learning how to write. How cool is that? That they're engaged in church and trying to answer these really tough questions. I was impressed. And then this other one that I got was, they answered the question how they were going to take care of everything. And then this person writes, you know, being surrounding myself with people, supportive community. And then they say, it's my first time here. I know, right? But you know what, though? I thought about that. If this is your first time here today or last Sunday, know that we as a community of faith are finding a way to make it through the mess in life. And so just know that our churches, our services is what it is right now, but we're all together. And I'm so glad that we had somebody here for the first time, and they had actually hearts on here. So I thought that was good. All right, let's get to the questions. So when I went through those 104, wow, I wasn't quite sure how to sort all of that. So what we actually did, if you don't mind putting up the slide, it turned out to go into categories, if you will. And so I believe there were 8 categories, and now I'm going to have to go by memory. Thank you. Spiritual and reflective practices, hope and resilience, setting boundaries and letting go, creative and joyful activities, physical wellness, nature and solitude, and community and connection. A wealth of information. I can't say that any one person did it. We did it collectively. So this is really what our community of faith is. We all have it, one piece or another. Not all, one person holds the whole thing. I'm going to call out 3 things here. On the very first one, spiritual and a reflection, I loved this one. Thank you very much for blowing that up for me. I appreciate that. And it's the 3rd bullet down, reflect on impermanence and the larger story of life. Order, disorder, reorder. That I've actually been reflecting on that all week long, and even shared that phrase with my son and daughter-in-law this week. The next one that I really liked, I liked them all, but the other one that really stood out for me was setting boundaries and letting go. Actually, this category was really interesting that y'all came up with the notion that you need to set boundaries. I thought that was pretty profound in itself. But I like what this person says, to reduce the mental noise, to silence the inner critic and avoid judgment. I think so many times we're really tough on ourselves, and we need to give ourselves a little bit more grace. And then if you don't mind going to the next slide, the other one that I really loved was down at the very, very bottom. It's actually the next slide probably. Yeah, community and connection. And this is my favorite one, to spend time with friends and family and to snuggle with your pet, because I have a pet. So I like that. I thought that was great. So we have our next question now. And so the next question is for y'all, and it's actually a little different. So if you have a piece of paper, go ahead and pull that out. The next question's going to come up. And the next question is now, how are we caring for others in this time of uncertainty here at the table and in the world? So you're going to hold on to this week, right? So you can be as specific as you want. Put somebody's name down. Maybe it's a KT. Maybe it's a group outside. Maybe it's a pickleball group. I don't know. When you think about others, how do you care for others? And so how are you going to care for them? And I share that because there were a couple of other questions that people responded. And so when we asked the question of how are you caring for yourself, this person said, I'm not. That means that someone here in our community of faith needs you. Someone in this community of faith needs you to care for them as well. So I invite you to do that. Okay, that was good. I can't wait to hear from y'all about next week and how you're engaging and caring for each other. Alrighty, guess what today is? Today is the very last day of Godly Play. So next Sunday is our new Sunday summer program. It actually starts, and it's really kind of cool because Vivian and Derek and I'm forgetting her name right now, and it's Emily, thank you very much, and Kara got together, and they came up with a concept of, it's a play date style children's ministry. So it's their summer series, and they're going to explore biblical prophets alongside modern-day voices like Fannie Lou Hamer and Martin Luther King Jr. What they're going to do is they're going to take scripture, and they're going to marry it with an award-winning picture book, and they're going to share that with kids. And so if you're interested, if you're a parent, maybe you want to meet another parent and have some soulful conversation, a mixed young ones running around and read a book. We would love for you to reach out to Kara. Kara would love to hear from you, and you can sign up for a week. Best of all is there is a paid childcare staff person there alongside you, so I think that's the best situation ever. And besides, you get to hand out Otter Pops to kids and lead their summer-style communion, which is of grapes and goldfish. Can we have grapes and goldfish, Debbie? I want grapes and goldfish. All right. Any other questions you have that Becca read, anything at all about our church? Lynn Edison is here, and she will answer any of your questions. You can send an email to her at hstreetcampusthetable.com. All these announcements plus more are on in our newsletter. And so if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, we would love for you to do that. You can go outside. There's going to be a QR code for you to sign up out there. Tons of things. And actually outside today, Sarneet, I know he's around here somewhere, is going to be with everyone creating some posters for the Pride Parade next week. So lots of fun things to do. And then also you can find out about Lily. She is our intern, paid intern at the Table Farm. But what the most important thing about Lily is she won a grant. And the grant was for her to go work at any not-for-profit that she wanted. She chose us. She chose the farm. Is that not amazing? Yeah. So again, I do want to say thank you to all of y'all for your support. We wouldn't be here. These pews wouldn't be full. Our hearts wouldn't feel where they are without you. So thank you. So if we would all like to stand, we're going to join our amazing music team in the song Turning Over Tables.
Fear runs deep, spreading like a virus. Hate is cheap. From afar it costs you nothing. Sister, take my hand. Brother, we will stand. Open up your heart and find love is turning over tables, breaking off chains. When I see you in the stranger, I'm no longer a slave. Turning over tables, tearing down walls, building up the bridges between us. Ooh. stranger, no longer a slave. Turning on the table, tearing down walls, building up the bridges.
Good morning on this Pentecost Sunday. My name is Bob Martinez, and for just a second there, I thought Natalie was going to break into whistling, but oh well, I was hoping. At this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to their godly place sanctuaries. As our musicians help us with some walking music, I want to remind families that we do receive an offering in godly play to support Mustard Seed School, which is a Montessori-based school for children who are part of families that are experiencing homelessness. We have loving and professional care for our youngest children just down the hall. Those who are two and under are in the loft room throughout worship, and our 3 and 4-year-olds are out in the playground on this gorgeous Sunday morning. Our children in elementary school, kinder through the 6th grade, will gather upstairs for godly play this morning. Our reading this morning comes from the 2nd chapter of Acts, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version with some minor inclusions, edits, that is, for inclusive language. Now, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them that ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their native language, the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days there will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and all your children shall prophesy, and your young people shall see visions, and your old people shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Thank you. Our Christian tradition follows a calendar cycle. Pentecost marks the beginning of one new liturgical season. And when I say that it follows a cycle, it means that it comes in waves. There is always a time of preparation. There is always a time for a big event. Then there is a time of invitation to live that experience into practice. So if you remember the Advent, when we for 4 weeks prepare ourselves for Christ's birth, for that moment that marks the coming of God to be with us, that happens in Christmas, the big event, we are then invited through Epiphany, and the time that follows, normally between 6 to 9 weeks, to really experience this manifestation of Jesus in the world as a child in his ministry. And then it comes to Lent, and for 40 days we are again in a time of preparation for Easter, which is the big event of our Christ tradition, Christ's victory over death. And that is the moment that we prepare for that amazing, astonishing, big event. And then we follow 7 weeks of Eastertide, an invitation to commemorate that resurrection, to live that resurrection into our lives. This Easter season is also a time of preparation. It is a time for preparing ourselves for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost is the next big event. It is the moment that the Holy Spirit comes to stay with the disciples and with all the people that follow Jesus. And then we are invited into, again, another time of living this mission from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to all the end of the earth. But who were the disciples who were there and received the Holy Spirit that day? We don't know the number. If you actually read the passages before, you'll say that there were about 120 that were gathered. They had been with Jesus in the northern, in the Sea of Galilee, and they returned to Jerusalem to wait. This passage says that the 12 were there, but there were also the women that accompanied them. And they were there waiting in expectation for what's going to happen, which they didn't know what it was. The disciples had been experiencing such a wave of emotions during the previous weeks. Remember that on Palm Sunday, they were all jubilant. The king is come. The king is here. It's the time that the old Israel would be restored. And then on that same week, on Thursday, they were defiant. They were saying, I will follow you everywhere, even if you say that I won't. But from that moment, they move into denial and betrayal, and also being scared and afraid. The morning of the resurrection didn't bring any peace to them. They were skeptical. They were unbelieving. They couldn't understand. They were confused and amazed. They kept hiding and searching. What is the way? It is forward or backward. They even tried to go fishing back in the Sea of Galilee because they thought maybe that's what we can do. But these disciples who are there that day and receive the Holy Spirit, they are the new disciples and they have a new range of emotions. They are transformed that day. They are transformed from chaos and confusion to become resolute, to become mission-driven. They are no longer afraid. If they didn't know the way before, now that they know the way is the way of Christ. So what happened at that morning in Pentecost? Well, we heard the reading of the passages Bob described to us, and it started with this sound, this huge sound of the wind, and also this visual image of the fires, the tongues of fires coming over them. These are symbols of divine disruption and transformation. Every time we see in the Bible a big wind or a big fire, it is God's presence with the people of God. That is the visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit that morning with the disciples. Well, the Spirit comes as a surprise. The Spirit comes to them who were in this room, in this place, by themselves, and we imagine locked behind doors. The Spirit breaks through those doors and breaks through the chains, the barriers, all into their hearts. That Spirit arrival is the moment that their fearful hearts are transformed. They are transformed from that moment of uncertainty, of chaos, of confusion, of not knowing what's next, into we are building our future. We are actually, from chaos and confusion, moving from fear and disbelief into creating our own future. The disciples had been told by Jesus, go back to Jerusalem and wait for the power that will come from the heavens. They did, and they received that moment when Jesus actually gives them this hope that there will be a Spirit with them. But to be open for that disrupting fire to come into our lives, we need to be ready to move out of our comfort zones. You see, the comfort zones for the disciples were, let's go back to fishing. The comfort zones for them was, we don't know what the Jews will be doing and searching for us, so let's stay behind doors. The comfort zone was not to go out and proclaim God's deeds. What are our comfort zones? And we are all the time tending to stay in our comfort zones, the place where we feel that we are safe, that we don't need to be pushed beyond boundaries. Well, that noise brought the crowd. They were in Jerusalem. That was the place where people would come for the festival of Pentecost to celebrate, and they would come from all over the known world at that time. People from every nation hear the gospel on their own language when they come to see what's happening. And they don't understand how that could be happening. So the miracle was not the speaking in the other languages. The miracle was in the listening God's deeds in our own language. How could that be? Those chaotic moments are transformed into more confusion. But the confusion and the chaos that happened before for the disciples were actually the actions of the empire, the one that actually arrested Jesus, the one that tortured him and killed him. The oppression of Jesus' community is transformed in the Pentecost into a chaos and confusion of the power of those who were being oppressed to begin proclaiming God's deeds of power. You know, this story has echoes of another story in the Old Testament of the Tower of Babel. It is the tower, the story of when the men were of one culture only and one language, who, praising themselves, wanted to build a big, beautiful tower in Babel and proclaim their own deeds, what they did. Well, God confounds their language at that time, and no one understands one another, their community then crumbles and they are not able to build that tower that were praising themselves. Their difference, their language difference is discord and they can't continue. But with the disciples at Pentecost, their difference in language is the power of God being shared. The Holy Spirit really calls into existence that new community that is not under the control of the power of oppression. But there is another thing that is important to remember. Pentecost, decentralized authority. Pentecost doesn't come to the head of the disciples. The Pentecost doesn't come to those who were in power, to those who were in leadership. The Pentecost comes to all of them. The tongues of fire were distributed to all of them and fell through all of them because Pentecost is inclusive. It's participatory. It's radically accessible. And we can hear the sounds of the Spirit if we listen to the voices of those who are in our community in that place. The ones who are crying from their experience, the language of what is God doing at this time of oppression to us. So what are those voices? I cannot stop thinking that I heard these voices these last 2 days in Los Angeles. I cannot stop thinking about this huge, absurd debate about transgender athletes, of people of color seeing that just to be diverse is now a risk, of people on the margins who are at risk and are fearful. But the Spirit falls on this difference. This is a diversity that the Spirit embraces because it embraces every cultural, ethnic, and linguistic diversity. It is a message for all, and all means all. Unity and being blessed by the Spirit does not require uniformity. The miracle of the Pentecost is that the mutual understanding that exists in this difference, even if there are different languages, the Spirit is not of one culture, of one people, but it allows all the peoples to speak, to be heard, and to live their own life. So how do we celebrate difference and diversity in our midst? Are we building a church that celebrates diversity as a sacred presence of God? Well, Peter noticed that they were confused. They were thinking, this is our drunk people at 9 a.m. in the morning. And Peter then said, no, it's not. It's the prophet Joel who had prophesied that the Spirit will empower all, sons and daughters, young and old, slaves. Those in the margins will prophesy. They will see visions. They will dream dreams. The Spirit does reveal itself where people begin to resist oppression, where people seek new forms of life, where people start to believe in hope again, because it's so easy to lose hope. But the Spirit does bring that hope through dreams, through visions, through these prophecies. Are we bold enough to follow them? Where is resistance sprouting today? Where is hope germinating in these events that we are seeing on our daily news or in the constant bombing and killing of children or in celebrating love and diversity during the Pride Month? we are called to be a Pentecost people. And that call means that we are called to surrender to the Spirit's disruptive call to justice, because it is disruptive. It takes us from the comfort zones. The changes in society that the Holy Spirit can cause will only happen through our personal conversion and our commitment to the common good of each one of us. That's what we are being calling during this time. So, listen. Listen to the Spirit's voices in unexpected places, because the Spirit is there. And it's very unexpected if we are open to listen. The Spirit's not confined or controlled by the church or by the church structures, or is only given to those who are initiated. This is why we say, all are invited to our table. The Spirit is present wherever freedom and justice is being proclaimed. So let us join the Spirit's mission of liberation and renewal. The Holy Spirit inspires our community to challenge these oppressive structures and to seek justice. The Holy Spirit empowers all of us to become active participants in our own liberation, and even those who don't have the power. These are the good news that we are invited to proclaim. Let's join the Spirit. Amen. Chaos and confusion were experienced by the followers of Jesus after his arrest, his torture, his death. The surprise of the resurrection didn't eliminate the puzzlement and the doubts. They spent weeks after Jesus' appearance to the women and to the disciples trying to understand what happened and what they were going to do. They even tried to go back fishing. And then they were told to go back to Jerusalem and to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit so they would become Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and at the ends of the earth. Let us be honest about our lives, our hopes, and our mistakes, for even in our messy middle, God meets us with grace. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit and join me in sharing with one voice our prayer of confession. God of grace, we long to do the right thing. We long to make the right choice. We long to stand on the right side of the divine line. In our earnestness, we sometimes miss the sacred light in front of us. In our earthness, we sometimes miss the opportunity to show love, to show us how to hold our heart's desire for perfection loosely. Show us how to lead with grace and love over anything else, for even more than our desire to be right, we desire to be close to you. Show us the way. Amen. Faithful friends, God knows your heart. When you mean well, you lose your way. God knows. When you try to do the right thing and miss the point, God knows. When you long to be close to God and you doubt your worth, God knows. You are seen, you are loved, you are forgiven. you have been sent to serve. This is the good news of the gospel. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
You may share a greeting of peace with your neighbor.
Peace be with you. And thanks for this holy communion, the body of love of your beloved Son, the body is broken, God's love.
Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples and which have been formed and reformed through the generations. This morning we will share the version of the Lord's Prayer as translated in the First Nations Version New Testament.
O great Spirit, maker of life, giver of breath, we honor your name as sacred and holy. Bring your good role to us, where the beauty of your ways in the spirit world above is reflected in the earth below. Provide us day by day the elk, the buffalo, and the salmon, the corn, the squash, and the wild rice, and the things we need for each day. Release us from the things that we have done of. The same way he leaves us for the things that have done wrong to us. Guide us away from the things that tempt us to stray from your good road, and set us free from the evil one and his worthless ways. All honor and shining grace belong to you, to the time beyond the end of all days. Amen. Pour out your spirit on us gathered in many places and here today. Pour out your spirit on these gifts before us and make these gifts the body and the love of Christ. Make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
I invite you to be seated. All are welcome to the table of God's love. In the United Methodist Church, the table is open to all people. All means all. We encourage those at home to light a candle and gather bread and juice in whatever form you may have. Please know that whether you're online or here in the sanctuary, you do not need to be a member of this church or of any denomination to participate. We are all God's children, and this is God's table open to all. In short, you can't make a mistake. We'll have two stations here in the front of the sanctuary and one in the back of the sanctuary. Each station has freshly made bread and gluten-free crackers, and juice is in each cup. After taking a piece of the bread and dipping it into the juice, please make your way around the sides to pray with candles for as long as you might desire, and return to your pews whenever you are ready. Let us move together with tender care in this divine dance.
This is the body of Christ and bread of life broken for you. This is God's love poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. To God.
God's love poured out for you.
Thanks be to God.
Be the Lord, let it be.
Loving God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. In this bread and cup, may your peace make us one and call us to love one another in the name of Jesus Christ, our hope. Amen.
Amen.
In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to join us in giving generously to support the ministries at the table. The generosity of our community allows us to lean in to God's unfolding call on our lives and align more deeply with God's healing love and justice. Rise Up Bread is available just outside our doors. I invite you now to stand in body or spirit, and our musicians will send us out this morning with Make a Difference.
As you leave this place, may the spirit of freedom break the chains that bind us, tear down the walls that divide us, Lead us into the risk of love, into the boldness of justice, and the joy of their liberating presence. Where this Holy Spirit is, there is freedom. Believe that good news and go in peace. Amen.